Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Branson, Missouri. I'm going to read to you today from this book that we're offering, Practicing His Presence, which contains the testimony of two men. One of them, Brother Lawrence, a monk who lived hundreds of years ago, 1666. He was born in France. Almost 200 years after the death of Brother Lawrence, Frank Laubach was born in 1884. And for 45 years, he was a missionary in the Philippines. Though he had done many commendable things by the time he was 45, including a truly remarkable and faithful ministry among the Muslims in the southern Philippines, we would still have to confess he was a relatively obscure soldier of the cross. It was at this time, at 45 years of age, that Frank Laubach began the practice of abiding in the presence of Christ. It is so interesting to realize that 40 years later, when Frank Laubach took what was for him a very short step out of time into eternity, he died at the age of 85, one of the most widely known and best-loved men of the 20th century. When he died, from Signal Hill in the Philippines, where until his death, and that's where he began his practice of the presence of God, until his death, at age 85 on June 11, 1970, he lived one of the fullest lives ever lived by one of Christ's followers. He was one of the most traveled Christians of all ages, perhaps the most traveled man of modern times then. He was known in virtually every land on earth. Countless honors were bestowed upon him, Man of the Year awards he received right and left. He wrote over 50 books. Bestsellers, many of them, with worldwide influence. And he was a man that whose life changed when he began to practice the presence of God. He read Brother Lawrence's journal, or letters, and then he kept a journal as he's there in the Philippines, just a kind of a lonely missionary, and he wrote letters to his father back in the States. And he journaled how it was as he began this walk of practicing God's presence. This is what I witness. I have done nothing but open windows. God has done all the rest. There has been a succession of marvelous experiences in the presence of God. I feel as I look back over the year that it would have been impossible to have held much more without breaking with sheer joy. It was the lonesomest year, in some ways the hardest year of my life, but the most glorious, full of voices from heaven. As for me, I am resolved that I would succeed better this year with my experiment of filling every minute full of the thought of God than I succeeded last year. January 20th. Although I have been a minister and a missionary for 15 years, I have not lived the entire day of every day, minute by minute, to follow the will of God. 2 years ago, a profound dissatisfaction led me to begin trying to line up my actions with the will of God about every 15 minutes or every half hour. Other people to whom I confessed this intention said it was impossible. I judge from what I have heard that few people are really trying even that. But this year, I've started out to live all my waking moments in conscious listening to the inner voice, asking without ceasing, Father, what do you desire said? What, Father, do you desire this minute? It is clear that this is exactly what Jesus was doing all day, every day. Paul speaks of our liberty in Christ. I'm trying to be utterly free from everybody, free from my own self, but completely enslaved to the will of God every moment of this day. We used to sing a song in the church, which I like, but which I never really practiced until now. It runs, moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am Thine. It is exactly that, moment by moment. Every waking moment, surrender, responsiveness, obedience, sensitiveness, pliability, lost in His love, that I now have the mind bent to explore with all my might, to respond to Jesus Christ as a violin responds to the bow of the Master. Looking to Jesus till glory does shine. Open your soul and entertain the glory of God, and after a while that glory will be reflected in the world about you and in the very clouds above your head. Writing on in January 29th, he writes, I must work to be sure, but there is God working along with me. God takes care of all the rest. My part is to live this hour in continuous inner conversation with God. Remember what Brother Lawrence said, the best way to practice the presence is to talk often with the Lord, to have lots of little conversations with God. My part, Laubach writes, is to live this hour in continuous inner conversation with God and in perfect responsiveness to His will, to make this hour gloriously rich. March 1st, he writes, the sense of being led by an unseen hand which takes mine while another hand reaches ahead and prepares the way grows upon me daily. I do not need to strain at all to find opportunity. It piles in upon me as the waves roll over the beach. Perhaps a man who's been an ordained minister since 1914 ought to be ashamed to confess that he never before felt the joy of completely, minute by minute, hour by hour, what shall I call it? It's more than surrender. I had that before. It's more than listening to God. I tried that before. I cannot find the word that will mean to you or to me what I am now experiencing. It is a will act, W-I-L-L, a will act. I compel my mind to open straight out toward God. I wait and listen with determined sensitiveness. I fix my attention there, and sometimes it requires a long time early in the morning. I determine not to get out of bed until that mindset upon the Lord is settled. After a while, perhaps it will become a habit, and the sense of effort will grow less. I feel convinced for me and for you who read, there lie ahead undiscovered continents of spiritual living compared with which we are infants in arms. I wholly, with utter honesty, resolved and then re-resolved that I would find God's will, and I would do that will though every fiber in my being said no. I would win the battle in my thoughts. March 9th, 1930. I must plunge into mighty experiments in intercessory prayer. I must, with the divine love of Christ. Now, praise the Lord. I don't want to let the day go by without one of the highlights of this book. This is on April. It's over to the month of April. I have tasted a thrill in fellowship with God which has made anything discordant with God disgusting. This afternoon, the possession of God has caught me up with such sheer joy, I thought I'd never known anything like it. God was so close and so amazingly lovely. After an hour of close fellowship with God, my soul feels clean as dew-fallen snow. This is the part I wanted to get to really have you hear it. May 14th, he writes, "Oh, this thing of keeping in constant touch with God, of making him the object of my thought and the companion of my conversations, is the most amazing thing I ever ran across. It is working. I cannot do it even half of a day, not yet, but I believe I shall be doing it someday for the entire day. It is a matter of acquiring a new habit of thought. Now I like the Lord's presence so much that when for an half hour or so he slips out of mind, as he does many times a day, I feel as though I had deserted him and as though I had lost something very precious in my life." May 24th. As I analyze myself, I find several things happening to me as a result of these 2 months of strenuous effort to keep the Lord in mind every minute. This concentration upon God is strenuous, but everything else has ceased to be so. I think more clearly. I forget less frequently. Things which I did with a strain before, I now do easily and with no effort whatever. I worry about nothing and lose no sleep. I walk on air a good part of the time. Even the mirror reveals a new light in my eyes and face. I no longer feel in a hurry about anything. Everything goes right. Each minute I meet calmly as though it were not important. Nothing can go wrong, excepting one thing, that is that God may slip from my mind if I do not keep on my guard. If he is there, the universe is with me. My task is simple and clear." Praise the Lord. Remember how it says in Colossians that if we've been raised from the dead with him, we ought to keep our mind on things above, on him, over and over in the Word of God. One thing after another, one scripture after another tells us to continue constantly in prayer. Prayer is a two-way conversation. I'm going to aim to practice the presence of God. Live in the secret place like Moses said in the Psalms of the Most High. And even in times of judgment, this says in Isaiah, "I will keep him in perfect peace, shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on me." Your mind can be trained to stay on God. We'd like to help you out with this little book, Practicing His Presence, giving the two testimonies of Brother Lawrence and Frank Laubach. It's a lovely book. And it's well done by the seed sowers. We normally sell it for $10, but we'd be glad to send it to you for $5 plus handling. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim saying to you, Shabbat Shalom. Find a good church and worship there. Shalom.